flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We'll see if this man is happy on Sunday. Philly's own Meek Mill. I think we should just drop Wale for the rest of the show, but that's just me. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. I'm Craig Hoffman, and I'm back. Let me tell y'all. Yesterday, the level I was sick, y'all realize how down bad I had to be to miss a show this week? Oh my God. That was awful. I basically didn't leave. The only place I left my bed for all day was my couch. And it was just a, you know, about every 5 hour shuttle run between the two. Yesterday was one of my least favorite days I've ever been alive. And missing a show during NFC Championship week when the Commanders are in it, let me tell y'all, that was not in the plans. But appreciate Doc and Linnell for filling in. I know they had a bunch of our favorites on, including our usual Thursday hit with Dan Pizzuta. I know Sheehan was nice enough to stop by, so appreciate everybody doing that. Ant, good work yesterday. I know that was not the curveball you expected this week, but I couldn't miss two. I'm back. Yesterday, my Whoop recovery said I was 1% recovered. I'm back to 17, and I'm back in the chair, baby.
Hey, that's better than, you know, where you were, man. One is actually insane.
It is.
I mean, you were really down bad.
That was brutal. I can remember, there's like two or three other times in my life that I've been at 1%, and that was way, like, we'll talk about in the fitness world, people who can't do one pull-up. There's a wide range of people who can't do one pull-up, right? There's people who have no shot of doing a pull-up, and then there's people that are really, really close. And technically, both of them can't do one pull-up. I feel like that was the difference in the 1%. Like, they just don't go any lower on the scale. If there could have been a minus 45%, I would have been a minus 45% yesterday. It should have, when I went on that thing, it should have said, stay your ass in bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I ever got up yesterday. It was terrible. But I'm back. And hopefully that's not a mistake. Hopefully I don't wind up curled up on my couch with the shivers like I did after Wednesday's show. But we're going to, whatever it is, there's no show tomorrow. And then there's an NFC Championship game on Sunday. And that is, of course, where we spend most of our time today. We have an incredible guest list to talk about the game with, including the man who was under center the last time Washington was in an NFC Championship game. That's right. Mark Rippon is going to join us at 5:30. Also, there are two men who are doing play-by-play for this game. One on television, one on the radio. They're both joining us in the next hour because Ian Eagles with us at 4:30 calling the game on Westwood One Radio. Of course, that broadcast can be heard right here on the Team 980. That's right. We got the game on Sunday. And Kevin Burkhart, along with Tom Brady, will be on Fox this weekend. Kevin is going to join us coming up at 5 p.m. So we are locked. We are loaded. Give you a little bit of Logan as well and some Take Command at 6:30. But Anthony, the more I've talked, sometimes the more I talk about a game during a week, I wind up focusing on like one thing that I didn't necessarily expect earlier in the week to be the main thing for the game. The more I've talked about this game, like this game actually isn't that interesting. It's interesting from a storyline standpoint. It's interesting from a narrative standpoint. You have a team that was expected to be here in Philly, but also a team that, like, Philly's got some great stories in terms of like arc, right? Last year, they collapsed down the stretch. They have all this internal consternation. They kind of started this year with a lot of that stuff seemingly bubbling over. It seems like Sirianni and Hurts were like kind of low-key fighting. How would they adapt to the new coordinators? And then they just lock in the middle of the season. They've been amazing. And the only team to beat them as of late was this Washington team after they knocked Hurts out of the game. And that in itself is a storyline. Obviously, the storylines on Washington's side of it are endless. But from like a football schematic standpoint, in part because the Eagles are kind of boring on that front, they're so talented that they just kind of let their talent do their talent stuff. Like there's not nearly as much to talk about as like last week with the Lions. Last week it was like, how much is Aaron Glenn blitz? What kind of blitzes? Do they play man? Do they play zone? Do they back off some of their stuff? What does Kliff do? There's some options here. And then he wound up doing like this leaning back into the college offense thing with the super wide splits and the 10 personnel. You know, all that stuff was really interesting. And maybe there's some stuff, the meat on the bone this week that. And I actually think there's some merit to some of that that I can get to in a second. And then on the other side, it was, you know, oh my God, the Lions are good at everything. How do you both stop this explosive passing game and also stop Jahmyr Gibbs in the run? And David Montgomery's back, and this offensive line is amazing. How do you generate pressure? And like a lot of those questions exist, but because we've seen these two teams play twice, it just doesn't feel as mystery riddled as a lot of playoff games do. And especially ones where you've got so much focus on it, and it just kind of feels like it's going to come down to like which MVP candidate balls out more. Is it Saquon for the Eagles or Jaden for the Commanders? And if Jaden goes out and loses his mind and has five touchdowns again, the Commanders are probably going to win. And if Saquon goes out and has three touchdowns and 270 yarders, the Eagles are probably going to win. And in a way that's, like, I don't know. It's simple. I don't know if it's nice, because I don't know how great any Commanders fan in their heart of hearts feels about stopping Saquon. But, like, a lot of the stuff, and maybe, I mean, this is why the coordinators, and they're paid a lot of money. They're a lot smarter than all of us. But, like, if you're Joe, you just put eight in the box, and, like, they have a lot finer teaching points of, hey, making sure, and Dan does a good job of talking about this stuff in the press sometimes of, like, how do you become a good tackler? Where you got to really, attack the inside hip, and, you know, if you're really super awesome in our gap discipline and all this kind of stuff. It's not sexy, and there's a lot of teaching that has to go into that on the actual practice field. But realistically, like, in terms of us talking about it, that's not very exciting. And then on the other side, it's like, who's going to start at right guard? Are they going to die against Jalen Carter? And if not, then can Jaden Daniels be awesome against a defense that does not give up a lot of space, does not give up a lot of air, is the best explosive defense in the league, but Jaden broke them last time. He found explosive plays. And maybe some of the formation stuff, like do you use some of those trips and bunches and wide splits and, you know, try to get Zach Bond to be in places he's not used to being and whatever, but like they're so fast and they're so disciplined that I don't know that you can do some of that stuff in the way that you could to Detroit. And maybe Kliff will come up with something this weekend, and if so, then like I can't wait to talk about that stuff next week. And if it works out great, then we're gonna have weeks to talk about it leading up to a Super Bowl appearance, which would be ungodly cool. But it just kind of on the most simple level really comes down to which MVP candidate is going to play better. If it's Saquon, the Eagles probably win. Like 90% the Eagles win. If it's Jaden, it's like 90% that the Commanders win. And like in a way, that's cool. But in a way, I don't know how much more there is to talk about than that. And we have 2 hours and 45 minutes left in our show.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is simple, but it's also confusing just because in the last matchup where the Commanders won, you know, Saquon still had a big outing. Granted, after the first quarter, it wasn't that big.
Well, that was the thing. It was a condensed big outing.
Yeah. And the Eagles end up, you know, winning the time of possession by like more than 12 minutes in that game. And, you know, Jaden, he struggled and then like he came on late. So like my thing is like, it sounds like super simple, but it's also confusing because if you're to tell me the Eagles are going to win the time of possession, Saquon was going to go out there, rush for a buck 50, have two tuds, I'm thinking like, oh, the Eagles won that game. But guess what? The Commanders end up winning the game. Jaden end up balling out. So there's a lot to it when, you know, you look at the game.
To be honest, I guess that is true. And the other thing, too, is like, what's the game script? Can they get ahead? The Eagles have trailed for 5 minutes since they went down. They're like, since Jamison Crowder scored that touchdown, yeah, which is the very end of that game, right? The Eagles have trailed for five total minutes. throughout the rest of the season, week 17 and 18, and then the two playoff games. Five. They don't play from behind. And so, can you do that? Well, that sounds like a great plan for Washington, except for the part where when they beat them in week 16, they came from behind to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is kind of the funky thing about Washington is they'll play any type of game. If they can get up on you and just start bruising you as running, you know, with the run, where like you're trying to dedicate guys here, but then Jaden pulls one, like they can win that kind of game, salting it away, just quick decisions from Jaden, milk clock, time of possession. They love to play that style. They will do that with you all day. And then if you give them opportunities for big ones, they'll take them. Ask Detroit, right? But also, if they need to just drop Jaden back 40 times, they can do that too. And I think as long, again, huge caveat, as long as they can protect Jaden, I'm trying to make this game a track meet if I'm Washington. Like, I want this thing to be fast-paced, up-tempo. I want to hit big plays. I want Philly to feel threatened. I want them to feel not only threatened defensively, where they start to question some of their stuff, where, hey, we don't give up big plays. What's happening to us? Or like, okay, we can't give up big plays. So like now there's a bunch of space underneath, and this usually airtight defense that just is their zone match stuff is incredible of how they lock on to guys. There's just not air in this defense the way there is against almost everyone else in the NFL. That they also feel the pressure offensively, like we can't just hand the ball to Saquon all day because they're playing eight in the box and like we need to score. And I would live with that. And even if you give up a couple of big explosives, if A.J. Brown gets one on Marshawn Lattimore, I'm not going to say who cares, but kind of who cares. If he gets four on Lattimore, okay, now we got a problem. Now we probably need to play some too high. Now we need to show some different looks. But like, I want Jalen Hurts to throw the football. I want him to beat me as a passer. I want him to, and it sucks because typically what I would do against Jalen Hurts, if he doesn't have Saquon Barkley, is I'm playing two high shells, and I'm begging him to beat me with short, intermediate passes underneath, where he's got to read it out and find holes in the zone. Because I don't think he can do it at the level that my guy can do it. And if the game becomes a tit for tat of that, then advantage Commanders. Eventually, he's going to make a mistake. He's going to throw a pick. He's going to hold the ball too long, take a sack, maybe sack fumble. Like, that's who Jalen Hurts has been as a quarterback outside of 2022 when he played it out of his mind, apparently, because he hasn't been the same guy since, and he was not the same guy before that. So, but the problem is you play too high, so you only got seven in the box, and now you're inviting Saquon to run it, and now you're dead. So that sucks. So I think the mix of getting that right, figuring out how to play successfully when you do play with light boxes, which might involve the Daron Payne and Edge package, play heavier but in a light box, less people, heavier people, versus, all right, let's beg Jalen to throw it and try to get him to check out of some stuff. I think that chess match is going to be fun, but it's fairly rudimentary compared to some of the other stuff that I think we've seen in the playoffs with all the blitzes and kind of the more exotic stuff that Tampa and Detroit throw at you on both sides of the ball. So very simple. Which MVP candidate plays better on Sunday? Man, both these guys have been nails in the playoffs so far. So that's going to be a fun one to talk about over the next 3 hours. Again, Ian Eagle joins us. He's calling the game on the radio, which you can hear on the Team 980 this weekend, 4:30. Ian is with us. Kevin Burkhardt at 5. Mark Rippon at 5:30. We're locked and loaded on a Friday edition of The Hoffman Show.